5:30?
I think it is 5:30.
It is now 5:30 and 15 seconds.
I was told I could not open the meeting until 5:30.
I wouldn't let him jump the gun.
All right, that's good.
So roll the tape, we are gonna have this meeting, and we probably should do...
All right.
Can we approve minutes?
Yeah, it's all on the agenda.
But can we without a quorum?
You can't without a quorum.
No, but somebody could say, you know, whatever the minutes, and it was okay, and I'll say, you know, we'll bring them back next time. But essentially, and I'll, I make an announcement, are we on yet?
Yeah, you're rolling.
Call the meeting to order.
Welcome, everyone. I just wanna let everyone know that we had four people cancel tonight, so we technically don't have a quorum for approving minutes and whatnot. But I wanted to go ahead and have the meeting, because I think it's really important for our new members to get used to coming to the meetings and to kind of get them up to speed on some of the work that's gone before and what we're gonna be doing next. And I think that's why I didn't wanna cancel. And I think it's really important for the committee to have momentum and continuity, and that's what I've heard from the committee, is they want that. So I'm kind of disappointed. John Coleman, Kip actually sent in comments, and so I'll provide those to you when we talk about the sign code stuff. I also got some comments from Bill Farrington, when we get to that, that I'll read. He's not a committee member, but he's on interested parties and is representing a landowner in the downtown, the Chambers Group. And so, and Karen had an excused absence, you know, they let me know in advance. John Coleman, he's representing area resident, he's also representing realtor developer in this committee, and he has not participated very much at all since he was appointed. And we really miss having him here to bring his perspective, but I understand he has conflicts on Thursday nights, and this committee has always met on Thursday. So he wrote me this morning and told me he couldn't come. I wrote him back and I said, thanks for letting me know, and, you know, asked, he said something about maybe somebody else should take my place on the committee. And so I told him if he was interested in actually resigning, that he should let me know. We've already done recruitment for open positions, so it's kind of too late to do it again. I mean, we can't just keep cycling, so anyway, we'll figure out what to do with that. But I just wanted to let you know what was going on with him, okay?
I sometimes think that there may be more people in the Washburn district who would be interested in partaking, and I could shift over to the general public or something. I don't know if it worked out the way.
Yeah. I know we have this committee, and they're appointed by the CCI. New members are continually appointed as other members go away. But I also encourage people to come and participate, even if they're not official committee members. So the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. Hopefully we'll get some more visitors like we had last time.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised they weren't here.
Yeah, so we may still have a few people trickling in. So anyway, thank you so much. And the agenda, we have a pretty full agenda.
Yes.
Anyone have any questions about that?
No.
So the intention is to have the committee make a recommendation about what items should be addressed in a sign code. So we're not asking you to approve or recommend specific language, but I am gonna be asking you to provide a recommendation of items that you think should be addressed. And so that will be part of the presentation, and we'll actually have you fill out some sheets and submit those today. And then after that, I'll do a very brief overview of the streetscape standard. So just especially to inform the new members and to refresh the other members, since it's been such a long time that we've worked on this, of the streetscape elements that we're considering having design standards for. And again, it's not an exhaustive list, but you'll get to see those. And then what I'd like to do is go out and take a look at some of those in the field, so you get a sense of what we're talking about when we say sidewalk zone and street tree or street tree grades and that sort of thing. So it'll be just a pretty simple walkabout to do that tonight. Any questions about that? Okay. So, back to you. I don't see any public comment.
No public comment, verbal, well, tentative.
approval of minutes, anybody see any change there, maybe we'll approve it to the next meeting. See any comments?
No comments.
Did anyone have a chance to look, or did, I think we captured it pretty well, I thought, thank you, Jolynn.
Anytime, anytime.
Okay. So I do have some slides, because you know me, I'm very visual. The first thing I wanted to do was just, again, just a refresher on what the scope of work of this project is that we call Downtown Design Standards. So the deliverables that are going to be produced and forwarded for adoption are going to be amendments to the Springfield Development Code that address the design of development, especially building design, and the placement of buildings on a site. Anything that would be involved in like a site review is part of this discussion. The design standards do not get into uses within the downtown. The uses will remain as they are under the existing zoning, which is mixed-use commercial and mixed-use residential. The amendments only will affect the area that's called the Downtown Mixed Use Plan District, and I have a map of that. So it's not everything that we might think of as downtown. We have a lot of different overlapping boundaries in the downtown area, and they're kind of confusing, and we were trying to clean that up as part of this process, but it's really hard to do that because the boundaries are all regulatory, and we don't want to affect people that don't need to be affected by these changes. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to keep the scope narrow enough so that it's not going to be a huge change for folks over their existing zoning. It's just going to be a more detailed design standards for this part of town, because right now the design standards for downtown are the same as the design standards for the entire mixed-use commercial zone throughout the city. There's some specific things about downtown in there, but not a whole lot. So council directed us to do this work. The other element, so that's what I say, draft code language. The other code that will be probably amended is the municipal code, because that's where the sign code regulations are. So if the committee recommends any changes to the sign code as it relates to the downtown design standards, that would be an amendment to the muni code. And that could either be done at the same time or separately, depending on how that works out. The second thing on that list, the engineering design standards, that's a design manual that's used to when new streets are laid out or when streets are improved. For example, probably the most recent one was when A Street got improved several years ago. I don't know if you guys were here for that, but that's when we put the Sharrow's markings in for the bikes to go on the street, and new sidewalks, new curb ramps were constructed, crossings, marking of crossings, that sort of thing. So in downtown, you know, the streets are pretty much what they are, and they're not going to change a whole lot, but there might be some changes to the striping and to how parking is organized on the street, and some other things that we're going to talk about in the second agenda item. So that's what engineering design standards are. And then the next steps, it's going to be we'll be drafting that language for both of those elements. That's going to get really technical really fast, right, and very specific and legalese kind of language, because it ends up being a regulatory document. We'll continue to provide a lot of illustrations as we go with you through this information, so you can have a sense of what that means, what the look and feel will be created by that. But we are going to be getting much more into the technical language over the next several months. And then we're currently scheduled for adoption hearings with the Planning Commission in November. I think it's November 7th, and then with the Council in December. There's been some concern and issues with our consultant work products being delayed. Like, they were supposed to be here in April, and I still don't have them. So, but I'm confident that we're going to go through and still meet this adoption schedule. There just might be some different review cycles within that. But that's why I'm continuing to work with this committee to make sure that we're moving forward, the items that we're moving forward in a timely manner. So that's the plan. Any questions about that?
It's an ambitious plan.
It is an ambitious plan, but I think we have consensus on a lot of items. It's just a matter of getting the stuff delivered and written up. Okay, so the first thing tonight is the downtown design standards for signs. So again, this is that small map that I was talking about. You'll see this is 8th Street. So, for example, where Lithia Toyota and all that is not included in this area. And you'll see the boundary looks like this, and you may ask why. But when the downtown mixed-use plan designation was adopted into the downtown refinement plan and the metro plan mixed-use nodal development area, which really has to do with use and also form of development, these were the lots that were included in that. And some lots were excluded because they didn't want to be included at the time. So this boundary is a smaller boundary than actually the downtown sign district boundary that's in the municipal code, but I don't want to bore you with all that. But it's just,
do we have that in?
We don't, but I have it in the slideshow, and I can provide it to you also. It's a bigger area. This area is entirely included in it, but it includes more land. So at this point, I feel that whatever the committee recommends, if anything, we might recommend nothing. But if the committee recommends changes to the sign code, I believe it should only affect the land within this boundary. But we can have more conversation about that, because we don't want to get, this is supposed to be the walkable district, the nodal development mixed-use area. So we don't want to involve other properties around the edges that aren't part of that plan. So one of the, in the handouts that I gave you for tonight that were in your packet, there was an attachment one and attachment two. Attachment one was this thing that says downtown signs, summary of comments and notes. And that was my attempt to categorize all the notes that the committee provided at the last couple of meetings about these topics. So I'm not going to go over all that again. I just wanted to show you how we captured all that. And then this attachment two, I think Kip at the last meeting asked me about the previous downtown design committee and all the work that we had done. He was part of that committee, so was I, to look at facade improvement design guidelines. And so we spent a lot of time on that committee talking about signs. And so that's why we brought this back into the discussion, because it also captures work that the Historic Commission did in the past and previous committees. So it's just a good thing to keep in mind as we're looking at what design guidelines actually could become regulations. So I've tried to incorporate some of that language into this slideshow to explain what the purpose of doing this is. So essentially, this is a district that's different than the rest of the city. It's the downtown, it's the heart of the community. It does have this walkable blocks, pedestrian orientation to it. And it is, the downtown is transitioning, I think, away from a more highway-oriented drive-through downtown like South A. And so how can signage standards help support that, I think, is what we're trying to get at here. So last meeting, the committee went out and we did look at some of the different types of signs in the downtown. We had, remember this chart, we had a copy of. Thanks to David Bowlesby for providing that, because I actually didn't know the terms for some of these things and how I do. So again, it's just, you know, sometimes codes are more about keeping the worst things from happening than they are from making the best things happen. So I think we're trying to make the best things happen, but sometimes the only way to address some of those things is just to not allow other things to occur. If you just allow anything, you're going to get just about anything. And, you know, there may be some consideration of some sign types that may not be appropriate in a mixed-use walkable environment versus a highway strip. I mean, last night when I was driving home on Franklin Boulevard, I just thought, you know, all these places on Franklin Boulevard, they all have these same types of signs. They're big, you know, they're this kind of thing. And so is that what you want in your downtown core? Because that's what you have everywhere else. So just food for thought.
I think as the redevelopment on Franklin happens, you're going to see a lot of those signs go away. I mean, you see it already, they've already taken out huge chunks of stuff. It's
right.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's just, you know, the look and feel is what this is all about, right? So that's it. So what are we trying to achieve with any amendments to the downtown sign regulations. One of the things that I keep talking about is that, you know, pedestrian orientation. We looked at that a lot last time the committee met. We talked about having things be visible at eye level or at least visible from the sidewalk. Some people said, well, if it's a big sign up above, you can still see it. But I think the whole idea is to have things that are more in the realm of the human scale instead of having to crane your neck to look up at something. Another thing that we looked at was other elements that are in the streetscape, in the sidewalk zone, which we'll look at again tonight when we go out, and how signage fits in or doesn't fit in with those kinds of things. And then how do you encourage and keep that variety? Because I think what most people wrote in their comments was light variety, don't make too many regulations, let flexibility occur, let creativity occur. But then you gotta go back to, well, you're going to get what you're going to get. The sign code, the overall sign code I looked at again, and it's pretty good about like permanent materials, you know, not shoddy stuff. So I don't think that that's really an issue with new signage going forward. But I don't know, the committee may have a different perspective on that. Sometimes it's hard because you're looking at stuff that may have been out there for 50 years versus things that got approved in the last 2 years. But I did look again, you know, it talks all about metal and the kinds of wood you can have, fire-resistant material. It's pretty specific. I don't think it's going to allow shoddy stuff to occur in terms of the materials. And then for lighting, there's not a lot in there about lighting, so that's something the committee might want to address. So here are some questions that I have for you, and I'm going to actually ask you to vote on these at the end of this meeting, or at least express your opinion about it when we get through the slideshow. Because when we talk about pedestrian orientation, I mean, how could you make someone do that? I mean, right now they're not required. The sign code for downtown, all it does is address the number of signs you can have and addresses the overall square footage of those in relationship to your frontage of your wall of your building. It doesn't say anything about anything having to be pedestrian oriented or sign, you know, lettering size or anything like that, or visibility. It essentially allows all those different sign types that were in that diagram. The other thing it does is it limits something about the signs, the projecting signs, and so I'll have more pictures on that. But these are some things that I thought, based on what I've heard thus far from this group, that I think might be something you want to consider, is looking at some limitation on the encroachment of signs over the sidewalk. Given that we have a pretty narrow sidewalk zone in Springfield, when we go out and look and measure, you'll see what we're talking about there.
Yeah. How would we define encroachment?
Encroachment,
something that projects more over the
sidewalk, right. So right now, there's a standard in there about how much you can project, and so that could be reduced to a more narrow projection that doesn't jut out as far into the sidewalk zone.
Even if it is at some height that it doesn't.
So just some more photos, some of these things, a lot of these we looked at the last meeting, but sometimes it's
There's an example right there on the screen. The sign projects out quite a ways, mm-hmm. but it's up high enough that it doesn't interfere with anything, so it's...
But that doesn't project that far. I mean, I would say it's like 3 feet max.
That's probably, around 3 feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the thing is, if you're going to have a pedestrian-oriented sign on the front of the building that faces a sidewalk, it's going to project over the sidewalk.
Yes.
And there's no way around it.
For sure. And these are called blade signs. And so as we've done this work over the last several years, people really have a favorable opinion about blade signs. They think they're really great. A lot of downtown districts require them or encourage them as much as they can.
And you're right, it's either going to be that or it's going to be some kind of sign on the sidewalk, which is probably more.
Which is more problematic.
Yeah, but if you look at the scale of these and the materials they're made out of and the fact that the brackets are really an integral part of the design of the sign, they're not just stuck on pieces of metal. Maybe this one's less that way, but these actually have a designed bracket that goes with them. And then I'm thinking about, well, if the committee wanted to require that at least one, you know, every business have at least one pedestrian-oriented sign, probably most of them already do it because they're going
to
have
it's in their best interest to have.
Yeah, so it's probably not going to be a very onerous requirement, but it might just communicate more that this is what we really want in downtown Springfield. We want pedestrian-oriented signs. But I think, you know, this would probably count as a pedestrian-oriented sign.
I think
sign.
It should.
Yeah.
You have to project.
Yeah, and we talked, because like a Latoff, they don't have any kind of projecting sign or blade sign, but, you know, they have their sign on the doorway, which is at high level. And it's transparent, so it's not blocking the view into the store, which is what we want. So does that make sense? That they, you know, there could be like several options, you know. So one pedestrian-oriented sign is required if you can do this, or this.
Right.
Or some other way that shows that you're doing it. Because the code also allows the person that reviews the signs to provide a lot of discretion. The council made it that way because they wanted to allow creativity. Because you can never think of every certain thing that people would want to do.
Right.
So here's some more of those. They would count, I think. Unless the committee thinks, no, that shouldn't count.
No, I think those are good. They're at eye level. They're, as you're walking, they're very easy to see.
I don't know that the ones that were a little lower or a little higher were a little nicer because you could see into the business where that, it's kind of right in the, like here, they were low enough and it almost creates some privacy on the inside, but when you walk, you kind of look over the top of that signage.
So, I mean, you could get really picky about placement on a window. I think that's when people are start going to go, oh my God, you know, it's getting too.
Yeah.
That's
I
just
think
my
so.
Sense of, you know, what I hear from the council and the planning.
Some were better than others.
Mm-hmm. So I think the mezzaluna signs would have a hard time being anywhere else because they clearly are blocking. But
yeah.
If you look at the Haven sign, it doesn't interfere with your ability to see.
You think it's transparent enough?
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah. Now, if it was a little tiny window and she had that it was filled, then yeah, I think it would be a problem. But given the size of that window.
Here's another one.
It's up high enough.
To look at that is what you're talking, John.
Mm-hmm.
Higher up. It's bigger, but you know, it's definitely, I mean, she's got a lot going on. But then she, you know, she's got multiple. She's got the one on the side, too. She's probably using all of her allowed signs.
Yeah.
maybe a little more. Because that's not a whole lot of store frontage.
And then this is the Emerald Art Center. So this sign in the tile is actually, it's up quite a ways. And I just thought, you know, if it was down lower, it would be more effective.
And there it is. Well.
But the one on the, this is in the pavement when you walk in the door. To me, that would count as a pedestrian-oriented sign.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some.
We're just discouraging people that just want to put up one big marquee sign or something.
Right.
They're allowed to do that under existing code, but you know, if this were the code, if that's what the committee says, and if that's what the council thinks is good, they would have to do at least one or more if you think it should be more. But I think at least one is probably defensible,
mm-hmm.
and nobody would complain about it. And it would contribute to the district, I think, to have that. And other ways you could provide it would be on these awnings. You know, we allow awning signs. We call them wall signs. We classify those as wall signs. But just there's multiple ways you could do it. Here are just some more examples of those blade signs, especially that highlight the kind of hardware that's being used. That Adidas one I like because it shows that even like a formula business, a chain store, you know, they don't need to have a great big old here I am sign because they're probably fitting in with whatever that building is or whatever that sign district is. And
I bet they do have a here I am sign you can't see, though,
yeah.
in that photograph.
And
I'm not sure where that is.
Again, some of these are very, you know, not very big.
Don't need to be.
And it doesn't mean everybody has to have one.
What did we think out there when we saw text that when it was like 3 or 4 inches high, it was more than enough to see from across the street if it, it certainly had a...
Well, as I recall, 2 or 3 inch, you know, you could read it from the sidewalk, but I don't think you'd be able to read it from across the street. And then some of them were like up to 18 inches that we were measuring. So again, I think we're going to probably want to assign some numeric value to it in terms of the lettering size, but it, I think it could be quite a range.
You may get some significant pushback if you make it too small, because while I understand the need for the pedestrian signs, let's face it, if you're a business owner, you want the person on the, in the car on that street to be able to see the sign and recognize your business as well. It's
right.
Not just about who's walking that sign.
Yeah, and usually when I talk to David Bolsey, he told me most businesses, they want as many signs as they can get.
Right.
So it's not usual that they're only going to have one sign, and so it would have to meet the auto and the pedestrian. But if somebody really only wants one, you know, this would require them to have that be...
At minimum.
So this is one, this is at Glenview, Illinois. They had a maximum of 4 feet projection, which may or may not be appropriate for us. But that's how you would regulate it, John. You would have some a diagram like that.
Yep.
So I love to show these this slide. I was looking at this again, and so this is at O'Connell Sales that was adapted to the new sign. And if you look at that one, so this is a projecting sign, but look where it's mounted. It's on the second story, so it's up pretty high, and the lettering is pretty big. So I would, I don't know what you guys think. If you think that's pedestrian oriented, it certainly faces the sidewalk, but it almost is more of an auto-oriented scale.
Well, in its case, it's the places are upstairs that they're trying to tell you about.
It's an address. It's not so much a sign. It's a, I mean, it's an address. And personally for me, if I was paying the price they're paying for those particular places, I would be like, no, no, I want my address to be seen, because when I order my pizza to be delivered, it'll be late because it can find me.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure O'Connell Sales was thrilled to lose their sign.
The thing about this that I like is the distance, you know, it doesn't jut out so far from the building. So it just, to me, it adds
really
diversity
nice.
And interest to the district. The shape of it is interesting.
I think it's very appropriate,
it's
though I wouldn't consider it a pedestrian sign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, in comparing it with this, I hate to pick on this former MMA sign, but we did look at that at the last meeting, and
right.
I just think, you know, maybe it's not so bad, one of them, but if you had a lot of these, I think it would really clutter up your street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how far that thing juts out into the walkway.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one when you're talking about. That's the one that kept coming to mind. Like, I remember that.
It is interfering with the streetscape.
Yeah, and you know, we have to maintain those street trees, including pruning the canopy, and so that thing is like touching the street tree canopy, so I think it's interfering with the street tree, and I think it's also, someone could argue that it's also interfering with the street lighting, because it is, it creates a big block. That's a larger sign.
Yeah.
It does block the illumination from the lighting. But if others don't think that's an issue, you know, let me know. I just think it's something that the committee might want to consider and the council may want to consider.
I think it would be good to come up with a, based on the width of the sidewalk, an appropriate projection, whether that is 3 feet or 4 feet. And
especially for one that's down at...
Right,
you know, that level.
Yeah, because
I
that
mean,
was barely
the
longest
one.
Measured it.
Yeah, it's probably higher than 8 feet, so it's.
Well, it was when you measured that, I think it was right at like 9 feet, 1 inch or something like that. It was close.
But at that height, it interferes with like your view
right.
of the street, whereas the ones that are up on a second story
right.
aren't really interfering so much with just aesthetically the view of the street.
Right.
Yeah, and this one, sorry for the blurry photograph. I took it while driving my cell phone the other day. But, you know, this is that new LCC
downtown,
building
yeah.
mm-hmm. downtown. I looked at that and I said, I think that's about the same size of a sign mm-hmm. as that
just,
one.
But it's just tucked in.
But it's
right.
tucked
close.
Into the wall. Mm-hmm. And it's up pretty high. I mean, here's a person, so it's up pretty darn high. But to me, that just has more of a downtown look and feel than something like that.
Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
just my
just
eye.
Kind of
okay. it's, yeah, it's
going
too.
To
be.
I don't want to pick on them, but. So back to, yeah, so I was thinking the same as you, John, but that one was really auto-oriented lettering size versus this one. It really isn't. It's
well,
up high, but the lettering
right.
is.
But the lettering's small if you're trying to read it.
It's not like some big, you know.
You get the gist of what's going on as you're driving by.
Yeah,
it's
not
to read the details.
It's
know?
Not particularly readable driving
yeah.
through there
mm-hmm.
on those days.
You can tell there's music going on.
But it's obviously, it's
right.
a theater.
Yeah.
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 yeah,
yeah,
right. Right, you see the picture. You don't really need the text. Yeah. But again, it was intentional, I think, to design that so that it was oriented to the pedestrian, not to passing motorists.
Right.
It's kind of interesting because that building type, you know, has
mm-hmm.
that big awning and marquee
yeah.
or piece to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it's not likely that that would happen with other buildings or be allowed
yeah,
to
right.
project like that. I'm not even sure how that was
well,
allowed really
to
do it, but it's
kind of
but it seems appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It was
for yeah,
it's
fine
considered
for
a marquee.
For what it is,
mm-hmm.
so.
But, you know, it sticks out
that
far
is the
enough
exception.
That it's really interfering with,
yeah,
it's
I,
interfering with the view, too.
Seems to be the exception to the rule.
But it's still
yeah.
under the awning of the building.
Yeah.
Like if you look at
yeah.
it, still,
it's
it not
is.
It's not projecting beyond
right.
its own awning.
Beyond its own,
yeah.
its own structure.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. There's another one that's more, you know, attached, closer to the building. A similar scale. And again, it's at the corner, so.
I'm thinking that you know, at one time, people kind of had more freedom in designing and doing whatever they wanted. You know, and hire someone to come up and weld something up, to
mm-hmm.
put a sign up. And now there's probably more standards
yeah.
in the sign industry,
mm-hmm.
and so they
right.
encourage this rather than
right.
yeah.
doing something else.
Well, it's nice to get some shape to it, but usually you just see the box, rectangular box signs.
Right.
I did get a note from Bill Farrington. His email, he said, he was talking about the internally lit box signs, so closer to what these are. He said, I agree that internally lit sign boxes are not my preference, and if allowed, should be limited by size. However, a case can be made for them, and they've been used historically in Springfield. And then he provided Springfield Cleaner sign, which is no longer there, and the Dutch Brothers. Signs on their building. So I don't know how do you guys feel about limiting size?
Because it's mixed use, I think that there has to be limitations on it because there's nothing worse than paying $1,000 a month for a spot and have a sign that's lit and you have to have a blackout period so that you can see it. Because I don't like my neighbors. Porch light that it is on either side.
Yeah, and we do, existing downtown, the sign code does address that, and I'll get to that when we talk about illumination. Good point.
And we leave our lights on. Our lights are always on, but we also have the types of bulbs we use, like all the ones in our back that face our neighbor's bedrooms are all the blue lights because they don't disturb anybody,
mm-hmm.
and then only the ones up front that don't are actual LED lights.
Yeah, so our existing code regulates illumination from signs on non-residential property to make them deflect away from property and residential zone. So in downtown, it's not a residential zone, but it does allow residential use, so I'm not sure how that gets interpreted, but I think your point is good, that you don't want glaring light shining into all those loft rooms.
But that's the trade-off too.
Yeah.
If you rent that.
Well, if you wanna live downtown.
And downtown's supposed to be right.
Right, it's not a residential zone, so.
Right, yeah, put up your shades.
Get some blackout shades.
Why not?
Right.
But indirect light would be preferable for limiting the size of the signage that has internal light.
Yeah. And, you know, the box lighting, I think they can put a softer type of light in those, I don't know. I don't know if it's really an issue. I just, Steve, remember when we did our night walk before we got the streetlights and we mapped all the dark spots in downtown one night with this committee? And we were glad when we found one of those box signs because you could actually see.
Yeah.
You know, because it was so dark down here before the streetlights.
We were having so much trouble with lighting on the sidewalks at night, encouraged businesses to leave their lights on at night.
Right.
The windows, so the light would shine on the sidewalks, got a little bit of light out of that.
So most of the committee members that have expressed opinions thus far over the last several years, they really like this type of lighting on the facade and on the sign. But again, that's a, not everyone's gonna wanna do that.
Well, let me talk about that for a minute, go back to me. That's on the side of the building, it's really nice, yet if I'm walking down the sidewalk, I don't know where Plank Town is. I don't see it. I'm driving down the street, I don't know where Plank Town is until I get right there and then I gotta be looking over here at it. Sure, that's pretty much the case with a lot of the other businesses too. So the signs on the walls like that, I think are not really useful for the business.
But if I'm coming down, what's that cross street?
Fourth.
If I'm coming down Fourth, that's great. So if you're talking about.
I understand that.
Yeah. I know exactly where Plank Town is coming.
Just look for the people.
But I miss it often.
Right.
There it is.
The only reason why I know where it is now is because they have stuff up front on the sidewalk. So.
There you go.
Right. And I know it's across the street from the school, so, I mean, yeah. Yeah. But yes, when I originally looked for it, until I knew where it was at, absolutely, go right by it.
Yeah, we could ask the owner why he didn't want a blade sign, probably because they have all those umbrellas and they have all this other stuff in the right of way.
Well, I think those are out for the business, the umbrella. Sitting out the assignments after they did the brewery, and it's worked pretty well.
Yeah. Well, they're sort of limited on the other side of their building because of the mural of Ken Kesey, so.
Yeah, I have a picture of that too. So here's just some other photos from other places of wall signs and how they're placed on a building. Again, I think it's kind of hard to regulate the placement of signs on a building. I mean, some design guidelines that I've looked at do that, but I just think it might be beyond what the committee's interested in. You know, unless you could have something that said signs shall be designed integral to the architecture or something like that, but again, how do you regulate?
Yeah,
what's the person that's going to look at an application?
Yeah.
You know, it has to be a clear and objective standard, otherwise it has to go through a discretionary design review type of a process. We're trying to keep this simple to implement.
There was really only a couple of signs that I saw that I thought were probably not appropriate. One of them was very, very hand-painted and hand-done, and there was one that was hand-painted that was very well done, and one that was hand-painted that was not very well done. And so that was an interesting contrast to me, because if you allow hand-painted, then you allow the one that was very well done and looked very professional, so.
And the Mezzaluna, that was a hand painted, that was a painting, remember that pizza sign?
Yeah.
So these photos I threw in because, you know, we may think these signs are kind of cool because they're up, you know, these lettering on top of the canopy. But from a pedestrian perspective, I'm not sure if they work.
That's why we require that they do one per building.
Again, this is a mainly residential building, but it's supposed to have commercial use on the ground floor, and it now has the Mezzaluna, but some of those spaces have been vacant over the years, and so it doesn't really provide much from the pedestrian scale.
Yeah, they could easily put a drop sign down.
Mm-hmm.
Said Royal.
So if that code were existent, they would have to have something. Even if it's something on the glass or...
Yeah, it's the same sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we looked at this one together, I think, some of us. So what about these? There may not be much opportunity for freestanding pole signs because when new development occurs on the site, it's going to be built out to the sidewalk. They might be able to have one of these in a parking lot that's behind their building, their new building, but it's not going to be in a location like this so close to the sidewalk, mm-hmm. I don't think. But when these go away, you know, some people might want to keep them.
I think a lot of businesses coming in with those existing signs know that if they take them out, they're not getting them back.
Yeah.
Whole Foods is a great example. They intentionally left that sign knowing if they took it down, they would never get it back.
Yeah, when the business goes out of business, mm-hmm. they're supposed to remove the sign within 90 days, but it's complaint driven. I asked about this. And so if you see those lingering for years, you need to call the city and then they're going to go and do something about it. But they're not going to proactively go out because we don't have the resources to do that. It's not clear to me whether or not they can leave the structure. I know they have to remove the sign itself, the content of the sign. Because I think there's some out there that are in that category.
Oh, they did. Whole Foods did that. They removed left the structure.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened when the Twain Hobby went out. They removed that. They turned them around. They just turn the sign around so that it's inward facing.
Do you know if those signs are lit?
Some of them are.
Papa's lit.
Lit.
Bright Oaks is not. Castle is.
So if we limited the size of the sign that could be lit, that would kind of automatically exclude that from happening.
You see more and more of these, you know, these again to me are the highway corridor commercial strip oriented sign, and that's, I don't have anything against these signs. I just think on Main Street or in a pedestrian district, they don't achieve the goal of that. But they're appropriate in other places.
Right.
And so you'll see like those new hotels in Glenwood that went in, they have a different code over there, not a sign code, but some of those, they're monument signs, but they're a lot lower.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And more,
I wouldn't necessarily exclude that type of signage. It's just not likely that it's going to, like you say, happen.
And they're allowed to be 20 feet tall. Pretty tall. Again, if there's some other regulation about cannot interfere with. Sometimes, what I've heard from the people that regulate signs in Springfield is that, people just, obviously, they want their signs to be seen, and they want it out there as much as they can. And they don't like trees, because trees block signs, and, other things. So, when you're trying to develop a streetscape that has some consistency to it, and then you've got conflicts with signs, it's just one more place for conflict.
It's a messy world we live in.
Yes.
There's no way around it.
Yeah, the reason I pulled this in is this is the American Disabilities Act design guideline. And, they do have standards for post-mounted objects. And, think about people in wheelchairs and people with, trying to navigate vision impairments and stuff like that. It's just one more obstruction out there to be concerned about. More examples of those that could be eliminated. New ones could be eliminated. So that's all I had for discussion. Are there other things that you were thinking about since the last meeting that we didn't really go over tonight or from the comments?
Go back to the picture you just started this out with, downtown.
This one?
No. No, keep going past that. There we are. I spent some time in Australia and I'm looking at stuff like this. And this is a lot like Fremantle, which I really fell in love with. It's old buildings. And there's signings there. And I thought I took a bunch more pictures of it than this. But they hang under the awnings. Mm-hmm. And that's just one example. Mm-hmm. But you can see it from the sidewalk very well. You can see it from the street very well. Mm. Very well. Very nice. Oops. And there's all different kinds there. But, I don't see pictures of them and I don't see what I want to show you. Fremantle is a nice little town to go visit. But Fremantle's old. Mm-hmm. Old buildings like that. And I looked at those in Fremantle and I saw Springfield. Mm-hmm. So in fact, when I see this, I think of Fremantle. Nice.
So what else, John? You provide a lot of comments. So on that attachment one.
I do like the idea of having at least one pedestrian-oriented sign, which can be on the door or something like that.
So I'm going to give you these action requested. These are kind of like a ballot just to kind of test the waters of what people think.
Do you agree this is good?
No, but we will. We'll give you the records.
You can do it back with a red pen.
And they're just yes or no's. And if you want to write more and think about other things that you think should be added. But again, I want to wrap up this discussion of what should be regulated, and you will see it again because we'll come back with, we'll actually draft some language, and we'll come back and we'll put input on that.
I want to make some general comments. I grew up in Springfield, a thriving downtown when I was a kid, high school, after that, and it died away. And I want to get it. I want to see it come back. So I've been involved in this stuff all I can, and it's still slow coming back. Though right lately, the past couple of years, downtown Springfield's ready to start to turn around.
Yeah.
But we've got a long ways to go. And I've been on these committees, just gung ho, and somehow I just don't feel like I'm getting much done. You should see me. And but I'm here. I come to almost every meeting. The consultant, this bothers me. We have a consultant out there, we paid them, or being paid to do this. They're not providing us with anything. So, what's going on with them?
Yeah.
How can they do
well,
that?
Well, they're not doing
I agree. I wish they were here giving us some real info.
Yeah.
I was giving them some.
I'm not even sure if their information is any good or not, but we're not getting it. And
but this sign code stuff wasn't part of their scope of work. Yeah. Placement of signs was, but not the detail that you're getting into.
But the fact that they haven't follow through what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, we sent it back.
And I guess, is the product they're producing relevant to what we really want?
It's going to be a city product, I think.
Okay.
And it remains to be seen how much of the consultant work will be integrated into it. Hopefully
right.
The illustrations that they're going to provide
yeah.
will be, you know.
I hope so.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're not going to accept it.
Okay.
So this project's going forward with or without the consultant. I'm just going to say that we're out there right now.
I'm not trying
so
to put one against the other, but,
no.
But you mentioned mm-hmm. consultant earlier, and I want to bring that up.
Yeah. And I have some of the streetscape information here that I'll share with the new people. So, you know, there's a lot of good work has been done, so don't get me wrong. The issue is the timing. We need to go forward, and we can't keep having these delays.
Yeah, that's, which is
so,
been real common. Mm-hmm. A lot of things I've worked on. And getting everybody to meetings, getting everybody enthused, which is hard to do mm-hmm. nowadays.
Yeah.
And I understand that, but we still need to do something. come back to the beginning.
Well, I just want to capture where we are tonight with this conversation. And if there are things that aren't in those top three that I wrote on that sheet that we think really need to be addressed, I want to know so that we can do more work to figure out how those could be regulated. Or if you don't think any of them, I think if you think everything's fine the way it is, that's... And if you guys want to share what you're talking about, or fine, you know, or you can just do it on your own. It's up to you. Lots of pens.
I just think at least looking at the encroachment of the signs and the overhanging signs on the, is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there should be one sign, you know, be it on the door, the entrance, or pedestrian orientation. Should we prohibit some signs? Maybe. I have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm. Again, I mean, with the new code for new building, I think it's going to be pretty difficult to make more of those in the future, mm-hmm. except in their own parking lot. You know, they're not going to be out right on the street like that.
Thinking if we maybe get a grocery store or
mm-hmm,
something,
mm-hmm.
you know, over 4th or up
mm-hmm.
in that
yeah.
northwest corner mm-hmm. or something, that, you know, maybe they would have some type of signage like that, but it might be a little different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there with the adjacency of the Washburn, where there may be some, I don't know, but it's about the only place I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or being appropriate.
The idea of a grocery store down there is appealing.
Yeah, that was part of the vision plan that got adopted, was the hope that we could get a grocery store into zone land for that,
yeah.
which we're not actually doing in this phase of the project.
It surprises me because there really is a fairly large population down there, and they have to travel quite a ways to
Bryn Mawr, BC.
And then as Glenwood develops, there's going to be a lot of residential in
yeah.
Glenwood. And then there's a plan to hopefully get a bridge, pedestrian bridge,
yep.
to connect the two.
Yeah. Largest supermarket in Oregon was at the intersection where McBay Highway and Franklin is. Yep. It's a big boy.
Really? Where U-Haul is now, or where?
It's where the South Lake Bridge comes in there.
Oh, the bridge comes in. Yeah.
Burned down New Year's Eve 1950.
Wow. So Steve, what do you think about do you think any of these sign types should be prohibited? Do you think anything should just happen? Just in this district.
I think we need to make the downtown much more appealing. I don't think that's it.
No. In that area, these kind of signs are horrible.
And other communities have pretty tight codes
yeah.
and stuff. And,
I've
formula
seen
businesses come in, they make them do what they want. Otherwise, they'll just do what the formula does.
Right. And we've seen subways that don't have this. I mean, they don't have to have this kind of signage, and it can look very nice. So.
And people like to eat subways.
They'll still eat there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They want them in the downtown, I think.
That would be for a new business. We can't go back and
say,
now you take this down. So.
Yeah, I think going retroactive is pretty difficult, but we can talk to our legal experts about that.
Give them a 3-year, 5-year mm-hmm. rebuild.
Huh.
But I think the question of removing signs maybe needs to be more clear in the code than it is about the 90-day rule. When businesses stop operating, they're supposed to remove their sign.
Or just stronger enforcement. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's already a rule, this doesn't need to be removed in 90 days. It's not really about making a stronger rule. It's about enforcing.
Yeah, but what I've heard is that the city doesn't have capacity to monitor everybody's sign or who's open for business and who's mm-hmm. not.
It's complaint-driven.
It has to be by somebody that's watching over it.
Right.
And that kind of adopts that as their issue.
Sort of need just some mold.
Okay.
Well,
then no time for that.
93 days ago.
Like
Jim's Landing.
Yes.
Are y'all finished with that?
Definitely, no, that's like.
If you wanna share, you can just pass them to me when you leave.
You need to file a form.
Okay, so I'm gonna just quickly go through this next agenda item. Thank you.
Anything else?
Tally goes up.
My trip that you guys might enjoy besides the pictures of my wife.
It was beautiful.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. What's interesting, what I was telling us is they don't walk the bicycles. They still bicycle.
Cause it's still.
Isn't it amazing?
I would love that.
I'm sure they steal bicycles, but they just don't seem to. There's a bicycle rack with the bicycles on it. Let's see here. Just downtown Frio, they call it Frio there. Yeah, we cool, call it Frio.
This is Australia?
Yeah. That's middle Perth there. Huge, huge city.
So Steve, while you're looking for pictures, I'm gonna go through some of these slides. So this is especially for you new members too, because we did, about a year ago, we actually reviewed draft two, which was the streetscape standards, and I'll pass that around so you can see. This is the work that Herb's Works, our consultant team, has done with us, with a lot of input from this committee and from the technical advisory group. And so you'll see that what we're intending to do is to adopt design standards and streetscape concepts into the engineering manual, so that at least we have tools in the toolbox, so that when an opportunity arises to do some of these things, that we will have a standard for doing that. Plus, it just, I think, communicates what the intentions of the city are and what the community wants to see. So these streetscape standards really have to do with what we call the public realm, which is the public sidewalk, basically between the curb and the building face.
Right.
And in downtown where the buildings are built right up to the sidewalk, it's really critical to have standards for how the different elements need to fit in.
Right.
So we talk about things like sidewalk zones, which you'll see in that document. And these are still gonna be revised in the next draft. But the sidewalk zones indicate, you know, the different parts of the sidewalk and what things can occur in them. We don't have a bike lane like that, but we will have several different zones within the sidewalk that are still kind of being finalized. But our sidewalks along Main Street are approximately 12 feet. We can do a little measuring when we go out today, but that's about the widest they are. It's 12 feet.
Pretty narrow down.
So we're lucky to have.
Three distinct zones.
Oh, I know. We don't have this, you know. We have more like this.
Yeah.
Or something narrower, so.
Narrower.
You know, things can get pretty crowded, but that's also your vitality, is to have all that activity and all those people crammed in there. And that's why we allow sidewalk cafes. We do have a sidewalk cafe permit. And, you know, this is, Plankton was the first ones to do it. And I think, as I pointed out maybe last time, somebody said no one will ever sit out on Main Street in a cafe. And we've all seen them out there on a sunny day if people are out there.
It's noisy, but it's still really nice.
So the other thing that we'll look at when we go out is the sidewalk extensions, which are at the corners. The sidewalk gets wider. Some people call it a bulb out. So we have that. Actually creates more space. So that was one of the reasons that Plankton was able to do that sidewalk cafe that they did, is because there was a little bit more width there. Another thing that we have in the downtown are the recessed facades, which we looked at a little bit, I think, last time, and we'll look at it again. That gives you a little bit more width. And so that's something that we're considering requiring for new buildings, is that they incorporate some recessed. This I thought was an interesting arrangement of benches. There's always kind of an awkward scenario of benches.
Yeah, do you want them looking in or do you want them looking out? This is the question.
So benches, street furniture is addressed in the streetscape standards. You know, the new sidewalk, the new street lights have been put in, so the sidewalk furnishings are being, the design standards for those are being selected so they fit in their black color to match the streetscapes. So here's that facade of Plankton that you mentioned before the mural went in. And it just shows, you know, you have, you know, narrower areas on some of these side streets, and then, you know, you need bike parking and you need all these other things to happen. So
they do have a sign. If you go back, they do have
on
a pedestrian sign on the window.
They do.
So if you're driving, if you're coming, you don't, you have it right there.
Or walking across the
so
street.
So they're successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
helps them be successful, right?
They're a good magnet downtown now.
Yes, they are. So the street trees, we'll look at these when we go out too. So there's not a lot of trees where we have tree grates, but we're looking at that as a street tree, potential street tree standard. And we will, in this next package that we're getting from our consultant, we actually have a landscape architect subcontractor as part of that, Greenworks. So they're going to be providing a list of street trees that are appropriate for downtown Springfield with the types of right-of-way we have, and the planting, engineering design for the planting of street trees. So that's going to be really great to get that. And I think that's probably going to be here as early as this week, maybe even tomorrow. So you will see that soon.
Happy tomorrow. It's going to be this week.
Other things that we, you know, we'd like to be able to incorporate maybe on some of our streets, like maybe South Bay would be one example, would be stormwater treatment in the sidewalk zone.
Yeah.
Which can be really nice. The trouble with these is, you know, maintenance.
Right.
And trash collection and stuff like that. But they can be really nice. If you've seen, I don't know if you go out West Eugene, but you know, when they're putting in the new MX lanes and stuff out there, we're getting some of this treatment out there.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to really make the corridor look better. So that they're building these big concrete things right now. And we're going to have quite a bit of this in Franklin with the new roundabout that's going in, new street in Glenwood. You'll see some of this going on. The other thing that we'll look at in the streetscape standards are different types of pedestrian crossings, like how the intersections get marked on the pavement. That concept of maybe having a raised intersection, if possible, in some of these sites where the pavement actually rises up a little bit. And then you see the bollards. These, you guys know what bollards are. These things are called bollards.
Right.
And so in this case, you don't have a curb here. You just have pavement that's flush, and then you have the bollards to keep the cars out of it. You've probably been in these kinds of streets in other places. And I've got some more pictures. So these I'm calling Plaza Street for now, just for lack of a better term. Curbless Street, Plaza Street. So anywhere where you might have a public plaza that joins into a street, you could have this kind of an edge. Because then when there's a big event going on, you can take the bollards out and you can have your big concert and you can have your parade or whatever. Gatherings, street parties, runs, you know, fun runs, that sort of thing. So we're trying to at least have a standard for that in our manual so that everyone recognizes that it's a type that could be something that we would use for a future plaza street adjoining the plaza. This is a director park in Portland. If you were parking that parking garage that I park in, it's right across the street. It's a big public plaza that went in a few years ago. And they have a plaza street edge on that one.
Like
it. Some more detail. And then downtown Eugene has a plot.
Yeah.
Well, I consider this to be a plaza street, Broadway and Willamette. And it's, again, it's slower moving traffic going through. It's not Main Street. It's not South Bay. It's, you know, it's a smaller functioning street. But it works. It works. And they have some bollards, and then they also use planters to do the dividing. So this is the curb extension. One of the recommendations we've gotten from several consultants that have worked with the city over the last 10 years that, you know, our curb extensions don't bulb out very much, and the curb radii on them is pretty big because they're designed for large trucks moving, turning movements of large trucks. So in the future, there might be opportunities to rebuild these at a tighter radius, which would give you more of that pedestrian space and reduce the crossing distance for pedestrians. But that would be at a later time if and when a street project ever would go in, a street improvement project. And then parklets. I have a lot of pictures of these because I think you're going to hear more about parklets. So parklets is a public use of public parking spaces. And City of Eugene is doing or has done a design competition for these. I think it was due like last week, last Friday. So I think they're gonna build at least one of these down there somewhere, like Broadway and Willamette area. So that'll be a good example of how they do it.
Broadway and Willamette?
Oh. Like, you know where all those pubs and stuff already are? I think it's, or there's a couple places around the downtown where they're gonna
Parking is already atrocious down there.
So that's the dilemma, is, you know, giving up one or two, usually they're one or two parking spaces have to be given up. And they have to be for a public purpose, so it can't just be a private cafe moving in there and taking it over. But these are typically done by public, private entities, like some group that really wants to do it. But we have talked about these, they're in the draft manual, and I just wanted you to be aware that we're looking at that. And the council was interested in considering them. And there's some pictures here of how they get built. But I just want to show you some photos of what those can do for a streetscape, because it can be, I mean.
Yeah, you're looking, build it up like that.
So here's how you construct it. And this is how they construct them. And typically they're flush with the curb, so these would be raised up more. And then see how it's just the, just like a little mini deck built in there, and then you have to allow for stormwater drainage or, you know. So we're gonna have some standards in there for those.
So who again could do a parklet?
I think it would be like some group that just decides they want to try to promote this, and they work with the city to make it happen.
What group would that be? Like a group?
An interest group.
So it wouldn't be like an interest group. A business owner.
It couldn't be an owner that could do
it. It could be a business owner, but they couldn't. They have to allow the public to use it. It can't just be for their patrons.
Okay.
Sidewalk cafe, they can say that's for their patrons.
Okay.
I see. So a cafe could do it, but then they would have to, they couldn't go out there and say.
People could sit there all day.
Maybe the hours could be regulated or something. They're pretty tricky to regulate. It's like there's, San Francisco is one of the first ones to do these. Seattle has a program. Portland has a program. But they're relatively new programs in the last few years. And so they're still kind of working the kinks out of them.
So who pays for it?
The person who wants to build it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're not really paying to like lease the space.
Well, in Seattle, they actually pay the city to lease
the parking
space.
For the parking space.
Because Seattle charges for on-street parking, so they make
So that could, in that case, it could be residents of a particular downtown building that wanted to have some outdoor spaces, so they rent these two spaces.
I see that as
anybody
can use a student project for the school.
I do see that. That's exactly where I was going with that, because I was just thinking I can see that very quickly becoming a gathering spot for the school. Yeah, I know that's something that you could go to Mike Fisher with and say, hey, this can be a design project for your students. And the school could sponsor, ultimately the city's rent pays for it, but
there's no money for that kind of thing. But you know, there might, you know, this is the kind of thing they do crowdfunding for.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, people advise the whole
community
like
project. Oh my goodness.
But you know, there's a lot of these going in, and so just want the community, especially new members, to be aware that this is an issue that we've talked about quite a bit on this committee and within the city staff. We think that probably side streets are probably the most appropriate place for them, because you get them off the ODOT right away. And there are some places we've done some right-of-way analysis, because there are some wider places in the right-of-way where there is more space.
Honestly, I could see the school, I could see the parent group supporting this for the kids and having the kids design it as a confluence project. I mean, I really, that's something that could easily happen through the school.
Yeah, and again, the parking concern really is like, you know, you don't want to lose any parking on Main Street.
I think like East Street, if that developed, would be really appropriate, because it doesn't have quite the traffic. And
so when we're walking around, you know, think about that. Because people love these.
Side Street.
And then, you know, you end up having some design standards with them, because some of them, they're walled off too much, in my opinion. I think they need to be more visible from the street. So, like, this one's got a... And some of them have railings and fencing around because it's required because of serving liquor out there. Like, Washington, Oregon's more lenient on that sort of thing than Washington is.
So if they, depending upon where it was built, the local pubs or whatever could offer you know, someone could come out and say, hey, would you like to order or something like that?
That I'm not sure about, you know, we have to do a lot more investigation. And again, it would really take a program, not just design standards. We're just trying to kind of start the conversation with the design standard, and then it would have to become a program for me to implement. But it's going to take somebody initiating it, I think, and really trying to make it happen. But, you know, these can be really wonderful. And they're temporary, so they can be taken away.
They can be taken out.
If they don't work.
But, you know, when you have a lot of planters like this, I mean, that really can transform a street overnight. So these are like those quick and easy, do it now kinds of projects.
Which is what we need now.
Yep.
But that could so be a senior project, because a senior project is to contribute to community. There's three standards, and that fits into all about the design standard, the contribution to community.
Mm-hmm. They can incorporate public art. Some of them are very sculptural. They don't have any cafe seating. They're just like big wooden things that you can sit on. Cleveland has a program called Street Seats, we call it. So they're trying to not have it be a sidewalk cafe. They're trying to make it be just more of a park, parklet. Well, Emily might be interested. Eric's not here tonight, but, you know, parklet. Hint, hint. Another thing that we've looked at is on-street bike parking stations. This is one that the council was not as supportive of when we talked with them last summer. So that the idea might need to be explored some more. They felt that maybe these are more appropriate, like in a parking lot or on private property. But this committee, I don't know, John, if you were here, but there was a regional bike parking study done, and they came and talked to this committee about a year and a half ago or so, and got some input from this committee about the regional bike parking study. And they're promoting bike parking all over, but especially in downtown. So they've done analyses of how much parking you really need on a block, what kind of uses. So this study's out there. Emma Newman is our transportation planner. She's all
That's an old one. There's no log pond there anymore.
So that's all.
Okay.
So, want to go outside?
It's
nice. Okay. So, should we close the indoor portion of the meeting?
Correct.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.